Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What is up, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's October 12th, 2025. Brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast is live on the Kicking Out Podcast YouTube channel and our Facebook page. So you know what the deal is. Hit that super kick, that like button, that follow button, whatever you want to do on all social media platforms, especially on YouTube and Facebook at Kicking Out Pod. I'm Tanner Lee, and joining me for the first time in a little while,
the reigning, defending, undisputed Kicking Out Podcast Predictions Champion, or something along those lines. I don't know what Paul Heyman says.
Pretty Bell.
You forgot Paper Champ.
No, we're not talking about you.
Well, Paul, it's good to see the first time you've been able to flash the gold since you won it in our all-out prediction show.
I've been busy, you know.
A little busy.
Unlike you guys, went out and got me some, you know, sponsorship. You know, Mountain Dew's all about, you know, me now.
Oh, but you know, this is the first time you and I have been on a podcast together in quite some time, right? So, you know, I listened to the three episodes I missed a month or so back when I was in Hawaii. And, you know, I already brought it up to Shep, but I haven't got to air my grievances out to you.
I told you, just label it Kicking Out Podcast Goes Unhinged.
So, you know, you complained about something I tend to do on the podcast. So, you know, is that enough crinkling for you? Is that enough crinkling of my Kroger brand water it is this week?
I don't even remember complaining about your crinkling of water, just your drinking of water.
Oh, yeah, you did.
It happens.
Because when I complained to Shep about it, he says I like microplastics.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. He was on my case about that. So all good. All good. All good. Steffi's in the house. What's going on, Steffi? She said, just a heads up, I don't think Majin is going to be joining us. He's at his family for an early Canadian Thanksgiving. That's right. Canadian Thanksgiving. She says he might not. All right. All right. We'll see.
Yeah.
A lot of times when it doesn't look like he's going to be in, he pops in. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's like every time Steffi says, hey, just so you know, Majin won't be here.
He makes her look bad. I feel bad for her. I feel bad for her. He's making her look bad. But we do think our other co-host, Shep, is going to be joining us. Fingers crossed. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if he does, if we're throwing our predictions pods to the side, if we're just talking about our normal Sunday night pods, this would be the first time all the members of KOP would be together for a pod since the June 30th episode. It's been a little while.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know, when I'm out touring because I'm so popular that everybody wants to talk to me about KOP and things like that.
I hope you've perfected your autograph.
Oh, that thing's been perfected for years.
All right. Good man.
I might as well add a DR in front of it because it just looks like a doctor's signature.
As autographs are supposed to.
Yes. Yes.
So, but a programming note for everybody. The plan is to go live this Thursday night with our Wrestle Dreams prediction show.
Yes.
So just giving everybody a heads up now, that is the plan. So it'll at least be Paul and I. We think Shep, but not sure.
Look, he doesn't show up Thursday. He doesn't get predictions. Okay.
Oh, he doesn't get to send them in?
Nope.
All right, nope. You're the champ. You call the shots. So
he was in last place, and mind you,
he's been the last two times
he's been in last place. He refuses to admit he's been in last place.
True.
And if you go back and listen to the podcast you weren't on, I make sure to call him out for that.
Yes, 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 you do. Yes, you do. So, Paul, how are you feeling about the AEW product right now going into on the road to Wrestle Dream? I guess we, you know, this upcoming Wednesday night, we're going to have a 3-hour show, Dynamite and Collision together. So that's our go home show. But how are you feeling about some of the feuds, storylines we're seeing, overall product? How's the vibe in with you? What are you liking? What are you not liking?
I'm liking this storyline that has been built around Stat and Storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them laying in the ring, cutting promos. It has made this thing feel like it's the most important title in all of professional wrestling, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty predictable how the match is going to go. But I like the matchup. I think there's reason for it. You know, Tony lost the belt at All Out to Statlander, and Statlander pinned her, but, you know, she wants a one-on-one shot now.
Yes. Go Stat Daddy.
I'm still surprised that's how they took it off of her. I thought Tony would lose the belt without getting pinned in that match if she lost it, which I didn't predict her to lose it at all. But
I did.
I know you did. That was that was probably the difference maker.
That and Moxley.
Yeah. We, this across the board, this was one of our worst ones. It tripped us up quite a bit. All Out to,
yeah. You know, I don't even think we had to break down the points, our confidence points like we normally do, because I feel like I predicted more matches correctly than anybody else.
Yeah.
Which I miss getting perfect cards, but
it's hard to get a perfect card anymore. I will give AEW kudos for that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you ask how I feel about AEW overall, and you posted something on our social media and somebody commented or sent a message in about them feeling like this is WCW.
Oh, yeah, you saw that? Again. Oh my god. Yes. I replied to the person too.
I still have access to it on my phone. I just always forget about it until it pops up that so and so sent a message. But I agree to a point, because we are starting to see a lot of rehashing of storylines, which is what WCW started doing there at the end. But overall, I don't get that feeling. I don't. They're at 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked if they could make it past 5, there wasn't anything to worry about. They have done that. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I don't think the future of the company's in jeopardy. I mean, Tony Khan's got so much money. As long as he wants to keep the project going, or the company going, his project, it's going to go. You know, I think 2025 has been a good year for AEW. I think it's been their best since 2021. I guess some could argue the first half of 2022. As far as, I think they found their identity. It truly is. They're focusing on the in-ring wrestling more than anything. We're the best wrestle. You know, they use matches to build stories instead of WWE uses stories to build matches. You know, to each their own there. But they still do tell some good stories as well. Always room for improvement. Always room for improvement. But, and I know Steffi over here is giving the Death Risers and Moxley a lot of crap, which Maj is not here, so she feels like she has to fill in for him. But I get that. But I like this Moxley Darby stuff right now.
Yes, this is, and I give Darby props for this, as this title is, or this episode is entitled Darby Allin is Insane,
which we knew is insane. I mean,
you know, trying to throw freaking Molotov cocktails at people. Attacks Moxley at Comic-Con event.
I love when they do stuff like that.
That is, to me, what sets AEW apart from everybody else. You know, indie shows do that because they kind of have to, because they don't have a TV contract to get storylines over.
Right.
But AEW just is phenomenal with that. And I think we're finally starting to see now that the Bastard's back, Orange Cassidy's back. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see where this original Death Rider story was supposed to go.
Yeah. I wish they would have gave them more of a break after All In. You know, when Hangman defeated Mox, I thought, all right, Death Riders are going to be off TV for a little bit. But then following Wednesday, boom, they're right back on TV. It's like, okay, what was, you know, I know the overall intent of the story was to get Hangman the title and to overcome the Death Riders, but that should have kind of been the end of them for a little bit. But we didn't get that. So, I mean, if you know, and I know a lot of kids are fans of AEW, but if their parents order them WrestleDream, on Saturday night, next Saturday, might want to cover their eyes for the I Quit match, because as crazy as the casket match was at All Out, I think the I Quit match at WrestleDream is going to take it to another level. These two guys, they can ratchet it up when needed.
Look, I already know Mrs. Tanner's going to be covering your eyes during the pay-per-view or during that match, because we all know you don't like a whole lot of blood, and Mox is a bleeder. And Darby's all about being able to bleed as well. So there's just going to be blood mixing, and they're going to be blood brothers by the end of this. So,
And Paul, I know you know this about me. I know everybody who's a loyal viewer or listener of KOP knows this about me, but I like to keep saying it. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to my pay-per-views, or if we're talking WWE PLEs, to the fact that I like the title match to go on last and close the show. But
yes,
I think Darby and Mox need to main event this show.
Okay.
With how the feud's been built, I think you could put Joe and Hangman, which would be a fun match. You could even begin the pay-per-view with Joe and Hangman.
Oh, yeah. I think. Yeah.
But I think this I Quit match has to close it.
And here's the thing. Starting the show with Joe and Hangman doesn't make that title seem like it's less.
Right.
A lot of times you go, why is your main title opening the show? That just is stupid. But with these two, it's going to be amazing no matter what spot it's in. I just hope it's not right before Darby and Mox, because it's going to get overlooked at that point.
And I could be wrong. Tony could, you know, view it like I normally do, and he could put the title on last. But I just feel like it's not the longer feud. The Moxley Darby has the better story to it. It needs a big payoff. So,
yes,
you know,
and, you know, we're talking about 2025 being probably the best year for AEW since the pandemic started. We're getting BTE again regularly, and we're getting, like we did when AEW started, things transitioning from BTE to the screen. I went back and rewatched all the most recent BTE episodes since they took back over. The knife that they get from Jack Perry, he's still got the protector. I can't think of the name for it off the top of my head, but he's wearing it when he comes to the ring. When he returned in his tag match, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's like, that brings BTE back.
Yep. It's been a nice touch. They're not as long as they used to be, but that's fine. I'm glad they found the inspiration or the motivation to bring it back and pump them out. Something to look forward to on Mondays.
And when they were, you know, those 20 to 30 minute long ones, or sometimes longer, you had a lot more people. You had Cody. You had Marty, you had
SCU. No,
it's just these two and Brandon again.
Yeah.
So there's no need to be a 35 minute long.
That's fair.
Show.
That's fair. Yep. What else are you enjoying about the product? I'm going to tee this up for Shep too, who should be joining us momentarily, but I want to get his thoughts too.
Okay. Overall, I'm just enjoying every bit of it, honestly. Yep. You know, this has been the first week in a long time that I've been able to watch both Dynamite and Collision live. Normally, I'm watching reruns.
I watched the highlights of Collision again. I've been a bad Collision watcher, I will be honest. Dynamite, I usually catch live, but Collision, I usually don't.
Yeah. Even when I was able to watch it live, I'd go back and watch the replays of it. But they're firing on all cylinders right now. They've got good product. They know what they're doing. They're setting things up properly. You know, if you do miss an episode of Collision, it's still not like, oh my gosh, it's a big deal. But you might miss a match that's announced for Dynamite.
Right. Or pay-per-view, and, like they announced last night. Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, it's still good. It's firing on all cylinders as a whole. And I think now's the perfect time to be an AEW fan.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I feel like a lot of people have soured on the product and for whatever reason don't want to give another chance. But I think with things going on in the wrestling world, maybe some people are changing their tune and giving them another chance.
I think this is the first time I've seen the wall behind you since you positioned everything differently.
Uh-huh.
I just noticed your photos from Squared Circle Expo.
Yeah.
Which is coming up again next year. So if you're going to be in Indiana and down in the Indianapolis area, go check out Squared Circle Expo.
There you go. And our other co-host, Shep, is in the house. So we can finally say for the, aside from predictions pods, the first time since June 30th, we are all three present for an episode of KOP.
It's a miracle.
You know, got to give the people what they want, right?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Which is why I'm back.
Yeah, you're right. You're correct. You're right. You know what? I'll just leave it at that. Give people what they want.
Feels good. Feels good. Feels like old times again. But Shep, we've just been, we've kind of been all over a little bit, but we've mainly been talking about, I've been asking Paul what he's been liking lately in AEW. And I want to tee up the same thing to you. Like, you know, we're heading into Wrestle Dream. We got the go home Dynamite and Collision. This is a 3-hour show on Wednesday. And then Wrestle Dream's card is looking pretty good in my opinion so far. But what are you liking? And to open up to both of you guys, what are you disliking right now in AEW overall?
Well, if Paul's already gone, I'm going to say this, and it's going to shock a couple people, but I really like the storytelling between Darby and Mox right now.
Yep, that's 3 for 3 there. Yep, yeah. We said that. Yep.
Was it this week at a Comic-Con press conference, or and I don't know about the festivals and stuff. I don't know exactly what it was. Where Darby
New York Comic Con, I believe. So a pretty big one.
And I mean, Tony was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the side storytelling. I like a little bit extra than what we see on TV. Obviously, that hit all the social media platforms. It was really good. Another thing that I'm liking, and I'm not just saying this to make Paul mad, I like the storytelling with Mercedes.
I know where this is going.
I do. I mean, I'm guessing Tony's got some influence. He left. Okay.
That's all it takes. All right.
The official three-way return lasted a whole 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
Okay. It was allergies.
Oh, okay. Exactly.
And I'm allergic to talking about her, so, you know, that triggered it.
It's a hell of a story right now. She just picked up her 10th belt over the weekend. And I noticed with all the social media posts, I couldn't tell you the promotion she did it with, but the first thing on her other shoulder was the TBS championship. Okay. So not only did she take a picture with all 10 belts, the second belt after she gained this new belt was the TBS championship. So it was an AEW reference, a rub, whatever the hell you want to call it. So I think that's pretty good right now. I don't, I don't dislike this, but I don't like it. I don't know what the hell they're doing with the conglomeration right now.
Yeah, just kind of.
It's a little. At first, I really liked it. I really liked the backstage promos because they're wacky and they're off the cuff. But all of a sudden, we got the Paragon involved, and I don't know. Not my favorite.
Kind of feels like filler to me, to be honest.
Yeah. And then I really don't know what they're doing with this, with the tag team division right now.
I think men's or women's
scatterbrained. Yep. Well, women's we haven't really started.
We haven't got the bracket yet, which I'm kind of. I'm guessing after WrestleDream they'll give us a bracket, and then maybe it ends at Full Gear or World's End. Maybe that'd be my guess. I don't know. But with the men's, I'm kind of with you there, Shep. Like, of course, we're going to get Brodito. We know now it's Brodito versus Okada and Takeshita at WrestleDream, which I'm not going to say too much about that because I don't want to spoil my prediction. But and we have the Jacksons. The Bucks are going to go against Jurassic Express in a money match. But I don't like that Jet Speed and FTR are going to be on the pre-show. I don't like that.
Well, what are they doing with Hurt Syndicate and Gates of Agony?
It's just a trios match on the pay-per-view, which I think is dumb because we already saw that.
We've already saw it.
Yeah, we saw that. We saw the street fight. There's no stipulations on it. So I'm like, I was kind of hoping the street fight would be the end of it, but I guess not.
So again, I feel like the tag divisions and just, you know, pause mode or coast mode, I should say. Yeah. Nothing's really getting pushed. So
how do you feel about Hangman and Joe?
Love it. I love it. I think it's, I mean, obviously there's not a lot of storytelling behind it the way they've done it, but I think it's a great opponent for Hangman. I think it'll be another hard hitting match like he just had. I think they'll beat the living snot out of each other. But I mean, I'll tell you my prediction right now. I mean, it's just another way to elevate Hangman, and Joe's a hell of a name to do it, and I think he'll do it the right way.
Well, and I'll throw one out there too, because I don't think this is a secret. I think they're just finding feuds for him to do till MJF comes back. Because he's got that contract.
Correct. But I believe when it's time to start the MJF feud, that thing needs to be at least 6 months. It needs to stretch that long.
I just don't see them doing that. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree, but I mean, when's the last time, if ever, have they done stress a feud that long?
I mean, if it wasn't for climbing the Mount Everest,
yeah,
it could have been Mox and Darby.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like those two, it needs a hell of a buildup. Okay, maybe 6 months is being a little bit over the
three?
Top.
Could you do three?
If it's done right. Because in 3 months, you're going to have, what, at least two pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Because, see, I think you need to have two matches than a blow-off.
Okay.
I think it needs. I think it deserves to headline three pay-per-views.
Okay. And I shared this with Paul, but I'll share it again with you since you weren't on. But you know how I like my pay-per-views. And if we're talking WWE, my PLEs, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the championship should always close out the show. But I think at WrestleDream, I think Mox and Darby need to close out the show. I would open with Joe and Paige for the title and close with Darby and Mox.
And the reason you say that is because you're going to have a traditional wrestling match with Joe and Hangman. then you're going to have a spot fest with Darby and Mox.
Well, it's just going to be crazy. And I think it's that story. I mean, it was building before we even saw Darby return at All In. You know, the seeds were planted before he went and did Everest. So I think with the length of the story, the brutality of the feud, it needs a bigger payoff. So I think it needs to be in the main event. That's just me, though.
It could work that way. They need to be separated, though. They should not be back to back.
Oh, yeah, that would be disaster, I think. But
yeah.
And for everybody watching YouTube, Paul's having some technical difficulties. His computer locked up, so he will be back as soon as possible. So no worries there. No worries there.
Hey, let's be honest. He's a little intimidated by Shep.
He might be. But yeah. One thing, and I was vocal about this on social media, and then now there's been reasoning for my complaint. But one thing I'd been complaining about was the last few weeks, where's Andrade? Since we saw him return, set up a feud with Omega, which I thought we'd see at WrestleDream. We haven't seen him. I'm like, where's he at? Why are we not getting the announcement for the match? Well, Meltzer reported in one of the latest editions of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Andrade's not available to appear at WrestleDream. He's already booked to wrestle for the World Wrestling Council in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that's why. Once that was explained, I'm like, okay. Because I was glad there was an explanation, because at first I'm like, what are we doing? Like, he comes back to a decent pop. I'm like, his re-debut was better than his initial debut with the company back in 2021. They're getting him with Omega. That's going to be a great in-ring match, and then nothing.
Okay, so you, if you're Tony Khan, you know that going in that he's already booked there. Do you wait a couple weeks to do it?
I guess I would have, but.
Because, I mean, yeah, you had a great return, and then all of a sudden it's going to be 3 weeks before you see him again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's a match we'll get at Full Gear in November. I'm assuming. I don't think it's a match they'll do at Dynamite or Collision. That feels like a pay-per-view match if pushed right. So
what was I've read, you know, different reports. He was let go by WWE because of a failed drug test, correct?
I believe so. I don't know if anybody's actually come out and said like that word for word, but that's the high speculation. Yeah, he was popped a few times for drug tests.
So literally less than 30 days of that happening. I mean, I think it's funny that Tony Khan goes ahead and gobbles him back up. I mean, if you're in that situation of Andrade, you're going to be like, oh God, AEW is going to give me a second chance.
Yeah. And big money.
And big money. But you got a lot of negativity behind you. So, and maybe they did the debut to keep his name relevant for the meantime, mm-hmm. even though we're going to be a PLE before we can see him again.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought maybe a little bit of an odd debut, knowing that he's already booked over in Puerto Rico.
And I could be wrong about this, but I think Sean Ross Sapp said this on one of his Fightful shows. AEW doesn't drug test near as often as WWE. Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing it out there.
I mean, I don't want to, like, don't quote me on that, because, of course, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just relaying what I heard. So, yeah. Yeah. But that would make sense. So, I mean, Andrade, he's always been a great in-ring wrestler. He kind of got lost in the shuffle in his first run at AEW. He's with the Callis family along with a million other people. But I guess at least that gets him on TV consistently, and that's something we didn't see with him the first time.
Sure.
In AEW. Sure. So,
I mean, I think Andrade peaked with his feud with Johnny Gargano in NXT.
Yep, Golden Black era. Mm.
Yep, and then when he went to the main roster, he just kind of floated in, and then he left, and then was pumped to see him in AEW, and just kind of, again, floated his way through. So,
I guess good for him that he didn't burn any bridges in AEW like a lot of people thought when he left to go back to the WWE, because anymore in the world of pro wrestling in 2025, you better not burn any bridges with any companies, because
you think anything had to do with his relationship with Charlotte?
I'm guessing that wasn't the main reason, but that couldn't have helped. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
yeah,
she's got more stroke than he does.
Yeah. I mean, he did go do Ric Flair's last match.
Yeah. Yeah.
which, you know, that was Paul's favorite match of all time. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it was.
I can only imagine this has something to do with Mercedes.
Close. I basically just talked. I was.
Oh.
I mean, your favorite match of all time was Ric Flair and Andrade versus Jeff Jarrett and
Jay Lethal.
And Jay Lethal, you know, one last match. So,
I mean, you watched it.
You gave it 14 stars.
Oh, I'm Uncle Dave. 15 now?
It was in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, if it was in the Tokyo Dome, it would have been 15. But you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Now, Paul, we were just talking about like one of my dislikes in AEW until I recently got an explanation was the fact that Andrade got this great return and set up a feud with Omega, and then we hadn't seen him. But Meltzer reported that he's got a prior commitment, so he during the same date as WrestleDream, so that's why we haven't seen him. So,
all right, let me ask you guys this. The reports have been all over the place, and I want to see what your thoughts are. Not that it's happening, but that there was possibilities. Cross and Scarlett coming to AEW.
I listened to their interview or watch, I should say, with Chris Van Vliet. I'm a big Chris Van Vliet fan, and I like his interviews.
We know.
And, yes.
We know.
I like how Paul just threw that. TVB.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a little aggressive. That was a little aggressive.
Holy shit.
Wow.
If you would have seen Shep, when he met Chris at Squared Circle Expo, he was like a little freaking boy who got to sit on Santa's lap. He was all
not. No, I wasn't, but all right. We had a nice conversation.
Story. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, you tell stories as well as Vince Russo.
Man.
I've missed this. I've missed the back and forth between the three members of KOP. But I think there's a lot of potential that was untapped with then Karrion Kross, and I will say Killer Kross. But I honestly don't see them in AEW, even though I think they'd be open to it. I mean, they left TNA because of stuff with Don Callis when he was there, stuff between him and Scarlett. So I think a lot of things would have to be smoothed over. But I did like what they said. You know, if they ever go to AEW or full sign with anybody, that's their last stop, and they're flying that flag and making the promotion as best they can. I like hearing that, and I like them. They're like, honestly, we're still talking about WWE in this way we are. It wouldn't be fair to Tony if we went to AEW right now. So I had no problem with what they said whatsoever.
No, neither did I. But yeah, so everything always boils down to creepy Uncle Don.
Yes. You know, I give Callis a lot of crap. That guy's so good at what he does, though, on TV.
Yeah.
He's so good at being unlikable.
Well, you know what? So was somebody else, but look what he was doing behind the scenes. And now we don't even mention his name.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
That's true. But
that's because
your uncle.
That's because he... Oh. Okay, we're talking about somebody different than all of a sudden.
Cyrus the Virus.
Cyrus the Virus. I think AEW
his an old story that was on KOP that
I know. I was thinking you're referencing somebody else that was in AEW then went back to WWE, but then when you called him the uncle, I'm like, okay, I know who he's talking about. And we'll leave it at that. When it comes to Don Callis, I think sometimes AEW pushes him a little bit much because they want him to be the Paul Heyman of AEW.
You're 100% correct.
I don't think Don Callis can cut the promo that Paul Heyman can. No. Not saying Don Callis is bad.
There's very few that can cut a promo like Paul Heyman.
Correct. I think when it comes to that, Paul Heyman's the GOAT. But they want him to be the Paul Heyman of AEW. And then all of a sudden now just flooding his flock. Not saying that with a Raven quote there, but just to all of a sudden we're just getting all these guys and like they're getting to the NWO size.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted.
I don't know where that's gonna go.
I mean, the team's got a hell of a lot of potential. They got a lot of heavy hitters, some good studs, but like I want to see win more matches. A lot of them just take L's.
Well, because they can't win matches because the guy who wins matches gets injured every time he gets back into the ring.
Well, did you see what happened with
Kota? Oh my
Kota
God.
Kota and Alexander?
Yeah, that was bad, man.
Yeah.
Broke his femur.
It broke, which I didn't see any reports. I just saw the
Kota broke his femur. He's
Kota
out.
Kota broke his femur on that
for a long time. Yeah, I went back and because of course, you know, most of us read dirt sheets and stuff. So I shared it with you guys earlier this week that he got injured at the TV taping. So I missed Collision Live last night, but I watched highlights today and they showed it. I mean, on it was a scary spot. Alexander had him up in fireman carry, started kind of slipping a little bit. And Kota, I think he thought he was going to fall on his head. So he jumped, hit the guardrail. And right there, he grabbed his leg. I felt bad because the rest of it, they had stuff planned for right after the match, and they tried to go through with it. So a returning Mark Davis comes, steps over a paramedic, and starts choking Kota. And then Omega's music hits right like that, and he comes and starts hitting with trash cans. So obviously, Kota was probably supposed to beat Alexander. Davis was supposed to come down, help Alexander beat him up, and then Kenny was supposed to come in for the save, and that was probably going to set up because, you know, we still haven't got a run with the Golden Lovers because Cody, poor guy, can't stay healthy.
No.
But, man, that was tough to watch.
Yeah. So, looks like Steffi was wrong again because Majin has arrived.
And he says Cody needs to retire. He's just injury after injury. And, yeah, I hate to see it for the guy. I mean, his career has not been the same since he hurt himself in 2021 in that match with Okada. He's been snake bit ever since he's been in AEW. Adam Cole's been snake bitten. Jay White's been snake bitten. I mean, there's a handful of guys. Wardlow the last few years has been snake bitten. I think Samoa Joe right now is in the spot against Hangman that was supposed to be for Wardlow.
I agree.
I think Wardlow was going to get in that big of a push with the Callis family. He would have been Hangman's challenger at WrestleDream, but they had a pivot. So
yeah. Yep, but, which is why it was such a last-minute addition, so to speak, because it's like, all right, how do we make this work? Oh, we put them in a team match together, and then after the match, Joe flips shit.
Yep. So, but, I go back to the Callis family. I mean, we can see what's going on with Takeshita. He's going to be the one to break out of the group. I mean, we can see that face turn's coming, but what's that mean for the rest of them? I don't know because they are so big. And now Mark Davis just returned on Collision. So, I mean, that's another one in the mix. Brian Cage, Shep's boy, is probably going to be returning in a handful of months or so. That'll be another one. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like when's enough type of thing, you know?
Yep.
Imogen thinks Fletcher will be breaking out soon and turning.
Are we going to get a reunion of United Empire when Ospreay comes back?
I hope not. I want to see them going against each other more first.
I mean, that's a legit, genuine question, not a, you know.
Well, who knows when Will will be back. I mean, they're hoping maybe by All In next year, but there's no guarantee. And, you know, I think that's also been something AEW's been having to navigate around. I mean, Will's out for a while. Swerve's been out for a month now and probably out for a little longer. MJF's off TV right now. A lot of their heavy hitters aren't there. So
what was the final deal with MJF? What was his injury?
I don't think he's injured. I think he's taking time off.
He's just taking a break.
Honeymoon, and I think he was doing a TV or movie project or something. So,
and the only reason I bring that up, and I get it. I get a TV project, especially nowadays, or maybe even the honeymoon, but
yeah.
If it's not an injury with all who is out right now, is it the right time to let him?
Oh, I get it.
I'll give him a little credit with the honeymoon, but when it comes to like a TV project or a small movie or whatever, at some point Tony's got to be like, look, I'm already down Swerve. I'm already down Ospreay. I need you. Hey, we did it with Moxley back in the day. If you remember Moxley. He never got his vacation. But you know what? Moxley was a company man and knew he's old. Moxley's old school.
Yep.
Moxley's about as old school as they come, I would feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
And so is this the right time to let him go? I mean, not let him go. Let him go do other endeavors.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, go have a honeymoon. Take a week. Take 10 days off.
Yeah.
You know, go down to the Dominican. Sip you some pina coladas. You know, consummate the new marriage. Let's go. Have a great week. Work on your fucking tan, but get your ass back to work. Come on.
Yeah. I think we'll see him back here in the next handful of weeks. I'd be shocked if he wasn't back by full gear since he's in New Jersey. A few noteworthy items. Saw a former AEW Women's World Champion sign an extension with the company, and that's Hikaru Shida, who should be appearing on TV. We haven't seen her in a long time. She had some visa issues, but she supposedly has signed a new contract. So she and got a brand new visa. So
she should have switched to American Express.
Nice.
You like that?
What Chef uses?
She has not been on TV since November 20th, episode of Dynamite last year.
Wow.
So it's been a while. What else we got? Tony Khan said Collision will be the last AEW event held in Daly's Place until after renovations. The Jaguars are building a new stadium, so Daly's Place is going to get renovated or maybe turn into something completely different. So this past week's Dynamite Collision the last time.
It was convenient because obviously they had to move it to Tuesday because of the baseball playoffs.
Right.
Conveniently, the Jags played Monday Night Football. So
obviously
it worked out well. But now I know the Jags are getting a new stadium, but it's not. Is it going to be ready for next year?
It's expected to continue into 2028. It's a $1.3 billion deal.
That's pocket change.
Well, it really is for the next stadium, the new stadium.
The reason I ask this is we're not going to see Daly's Place for 3 years.
I guess not.
That sucks because I think Daly's Place is great.
Well, it brings me back. I mean, the pandemic sucked, let's be honest. But like AEW was such a positive for me during the pandemic. And Daly's Place was, you know, just a lot of fond memories in Daly's Place watching AEW. So I like whenever they go back there.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Did you guys see Taz is going to be off commentary for a while? He's having a shoulder replacement.
Ah, which is why you bring
it. He had knee last year. Now it's shoulder replacement.
Now it's shoulder,
Yep.
Which is why you now have a new member of commentary.
Yeah, how do you guys like Danielson on commentary?
I like Taz better. I think Danielson is good, and I think he'll get better. But I don't know. Taz is so seasoned, and Taz knows the technical moves just like Danielson does. But Taz knows how to deliver it a little bit better than Danielson. But again, Danielson's green when it comes to this side of the business. So
this is one of the things that it's not Danielson, but it's the way it's set up that I'm not liking. You get the Death Riders out there, and he acts like he doesn't know who they are. Like there's no history there. He just ignores that whole chapter that wrote him off of TV for good. How do you do that?
You got to as a commentator. You're supposed to be a neutral party.
But remember that's why he took himself. That's why he took himself out of the calling one of the Death Rider matches at All Out, because he didn't want to.
Yeah,
but didn't want to be biased.
Yeah, but still, like, you can acknowledge that you know what they're capable of.
I think we all
know Moxley can do this.
I think he has. I think he has acknowledged the fact of the bag over the head and stuff like that. But when it comes to calling a match down the line, he has to be neutral and has to put his past behind him.
Yeah, but that's when you make him a heel commentator, and then he can do it. I mean, for crying out
loud. Well, you don't need a heel commentator. You already got fucking douchebag Mac, the Max guy. The guy put his mask on.
Excalibur's great. What are you talking about?
I know. I used to hate him. Remember,
you did.
If you, you remember did. The start of this oh, podcast, yeah. when you guys oh, yeah. brought me into this podcast, I hated that song.
Excalibur and Pockets, a.k.a. Orange Cassidy, Pockets. Were the two you were on all the time. And now Orange has won you over.
I do like Orange, and I think Excalibur has done a good job. I sometimes would think take the fucking mask off, but he has done very, very well as a play-by-play guy.
AEW's got a lot of commentators they can rotate in and out. They've never really found their exact teams. I think Shivani and Nigel work well on Collision. Like Ian Riccaboni honestly might be the best one they have. He just doesn't want to commit to doing anything full time. So,
and look. You want to talk about it? Nigel, perfect example. Every time Danielson was in a match, if he was commentating
that's
it,
true.
He did nothing but put him down, talk that's about true. How terrible of a wrestler he is, how much he can't stand the guy.
That's true.
All these dirty little things that he's done.
Yeah, but it led up to a match, so that's why he did it. He knew it would lead up to a match.
I still think we're going to get some more out of Danielson, because did you guys notice Wednesday when all the crazy stuff was going on at the end? Wheeler, you'd have fell at Danielson's feet when he was standing up, and Danielson just looked down at him and stared. So there's a lot of hints there. We're still going to get matched between those two.
You know, they've announced that his in-ring career is done, but that doesn't mean he can't do one-offs.
Full-time in-ring career.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we get him 3 times a year.
Oh, that'd be great.
He can handle that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's –
And actually, I tell you, they were talking about Harley Cameron there in that comment. I think somebody that is unbelievable on commentary is Toni Storm.
She's really good.
And that's what you can – you know, I'm not giving away any of my predictions here, but – have her lose the match against Stat Daddy, and she can pop in and out of commentary then without having to worry about being there because it's relating to the title.
Well, last week when I did a solo pod, Majin was not a fan of this, but I'll throw it out there and see what you guys think. Uh-oh. I said I think her and Mina Shirakawa should be the inaugural tag champs.
Okay.
But Majin wasn't a fan of that.
I can't say yes or no either way on that. There are a few people I could think of, but most of them are already involved in other stuff that I was hoping they would come together in a tag team. And as we saw this women's division, like we've been talking about for a year now, kind of naturally become a tag division. But now they're some of the people that I could think of are gone.
And depending on the size of the bracket, they're going to have to throw some makeshift teams in there.
Yes.
I don't know how big the bracket's going to be, so we'll see what it looks like.
It's Tony Khan. It'll be eight teams.
God damn it. Sorry. I was actually trying to get my phone up here. I hit my mute button, so I had to reboot.
Oh, all good.
I was trying to get my phone to sit up here so I can talk to you fellas. And I'm actually watching Bound for Glory right now on my phone.
Which our buddies JPJ and Pluggo from Between Two Beards are at. It's in Massachusetts, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something's got to happen good out there in Mass.
Something.
Sports teams are shit.
I guess the Patriots are. They're off. They're 4-2. So,
sports teams are shit.
Sports teams are shit.
From there are shit. I mean, JPJ is the best thing to come out of Mass.
Wow, that's not. I'm not clipping that. Nope, not doing that. Not doing that. His head will be humongous. Not doing that one.
I mean, I've agreed and disagreed a lot with JPJ on professional wrestling, but
Bruins are on the
man. How can you go against your own Indiana born pluggo? I mean, come on,
yeah,
come on, Paul.
I'm not going against him. I'm just saying of everything from Massachusetts that I could think of, I'd rather have him around than other people.
Yeah, Steffi, you didn't hop in the pod when I was doing the solo podcast last week in my Broncos gear after they just defeated your Eagles. Sorry, I had to get that one in there.
Oh boy, Steffi's an Eagles fan, right?
She just said their Flyers and Eagles aren't winning.
Is she a big Jackson Dart and Scatabu fan?
Probably not after Thursday night.
Holy cow. Those crazy sons of bitches.
They're good at home. We'll see what they can do on the road.
Yeah, well.
Nothing. No, I don't know.
Paul, your Browns are trash. Stop.
Look, they won a game. I'm happy, all right?
Hey,
they were going to do.
They got rid of Flacco, and Flacco about beat the Packers again today.
Almost.
Yeah.
You know what, Paul? You look like a Shedeur Sanders fan. So,
my God. No, he does not. He is not in Shadir's. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get myself canceled. I'm stopping.
What happened there? I set it up on a tee for you, Tanner.
Yeah, and I'm not taking the bait. I want to be on everybody's good side. Have you guys seen this card for Dynamite and Collision Wednesday night? This 3-hour show we're getting.
I saw bits and pieces. I've not seen the final card.
So,
it's all subject to change.
Yeah, we're getting Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express versus Mark Davis, Hetchicero, and Josh Alexander, which I like what they did last night on Collision with Kenny and Jack Perry. Kenny pretty much saying, I don't trust you. But Jack Perry also saying, we have common enemies right now. So type of deal. We're getting a Trios Championship match. We got the Ops. And Hangman's going to be on commentary versus LFI. I like that. Sammy, Roosh, and either Beast Mortos or Drillistico. I don't know which one. We're getting what they're calling famous last words before WrestleDream between Statlander and Tony Storm. Getting a special face-to-face with Darby and Mox. Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly versus Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia. Claudio versus Roderick Strong. Sky Blue versus Jamie Hayter, and Shelton Benjamin and Lashley versus GOA in a tag match.
About half of that doesn't really excite me. the biggest thing that I think will be entertaining is the, war of words?
Yeah, between the women.
Between the women, I think that'll be a great, great segment.
Yep.
They always deliver, especially Tony. And it's funny now all of a sudden we see Yuta and Garcia as a tag team. Before, when those two were feuding, we would get them every week in a pure wrestling match. Mm. And I think I used to bitch about that a while. So now all of a sudden they're a tag team. So
no, yep.
Shep bitching about something? No.
I tend to. It's fine.
It's all right. That's what we're supposed to do as wrestling fans. You know,
I mean we can't be happy about anything. I mean, you always have to find something to bitch about.
Like Majin's bitching here. I will say I'm pissed that I'm never going to get my dream match. AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega would feed families. Hard to agree with that. Disagree with that, I should say.
I was like, wait a minute.
Disagree. That would be a hell of a dream match.
After this weekend and seeing what they did for AJ Styles, he will retire as in WWE.
It'll be next year. He already said 2026 is going to be his last. So,
I mean, did you see the little intro that Cena gave the ring announcer about AJ? mm-hmm. you know, called him the president of total nonstop action, and then basically gave him the boss leader role of, and they said the word Bullet Club on WWE television. Even they gave a close up of AJ Styles, and he said, "Oh shit."
Yeah. So AJ was wearing the shorts. He wore it back in TNA.
Shorts with the vest. Yep.
Yep. A lot of good callbacks, you know, Cena's playing greatest hits of his opponents with signature moves and the finishers. It's fun. It's fun.
He hit Sister Abigail. He hit the TKO.
Tombstone.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that leads into my statement at the bottom of my, mm-hmm. of my picture here. It can work. Nope. And you were bitter.
Nope.
You were bitter quick this morning, Paul or Tanner.
Yep. I was.
I was at work, so that's why I didn't respond right away, but I'm the same way. No.
Mm-mm.
Why?
What's AEW get out of it?
Exactly. Exposure and money?
Nah.
Nah, they don't get exposure. WWE fans, a lot of them don't care about AEW. What they would have to get something huge in return, not just money. Like, I mean, a superstar of their choosing to come show up on AEW television, which Triple H and Nick Khan would never agree to. So WWE right. doesn't play fair ball with AEW, so why should AEW play fair ball with them? No.
Because it's one of the greats.
It's
the right thing to do. It is exposure. You have him come out to his music, obviously, but you
which
also
he always has though.
But you also have him come out to Edge, and then they also say Adam Copeland. He has an AEW insignia on his gear. You even mention it in promos. You could literally elevate AEW on a bigger scale with a 2 to 3 week feud leading up to this final match. Will it happen? You're probably right. It's not, but it could work and it could benefit both.
No, it could work if they wanted to both make it work, but let's be honest, they don't. It's not a good, there's no partnership. It's not friendly. I mean, the only thing we've ever seen them really do together was back in 2021 when AEW was still a really young company. I mean, they're still young, but when Jericho was on the Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold. And after that, we've seen nothing.
Yeah, they let Billy Gunn come back for the Hall of Fame.
Okay, they did do that early, even before that. Okay. And then Triple H took a shot.
Yeah, your pissant company.
Pissant t-shirt company.
Yeah, it's fine.
But
I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, it's the right final opponent.
Modern said they will. No. I think Copeland, Edge, whatever you want to call him, is one of Cena's top rivals. I'm not disagreeing with you there. But for Cena's last opponent, it's got to be a younger talent that they can elevate going forward. It can be a strap a rocket to this guy's back type of thing, because Cena's so old school, he's got to go out on his back looking up at the lights. And I think that person will be Gunther, and it should be Gunther.
You think so?
If I could handpick who it should be, that's who I would pick in WWE, Gunther.
Quit saying it that way. It's Gunther.
Gunther. Now that I know you don't like me saying Gunther, I'm going to say Gunther even more.
I don't know. That's not the guy I'd strap a rocket to, but whatever.
Yep, I like you, but give your egg head a shake. Come on.
What? My egg head? You know, like my fucking forehead? He's got a fresh haircut.
Now it's, you know, there's been a lot of WWE people that want Edge to come back. And I get it because, Cena's went against most of his good rivals during this tour, which I still think WWE's botched. And I think some of it's not John's fault. I mean, The Rock had a big hand in it saying, peace out. But yeah. Amon says Cena's going to go out on his back looking up at the lights, just like Mama Wang with Ship.
Hey-o!
Hey-o.
That's a pretty good one. That's pretty good one, Majin. I give a shout out. And he's getting yelled at by Steffi, excuse me, but I thought it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, man.
And you, never mind. I don't kiss and tell.
Again, stuff being queued up for people who aren't responding. Man, this is a disappointing episode of the Kicking Out podcast.
Why is that?
Everything's being queued up for everybody and nobody's taking the swing.
Trying to behave.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't even said the F word yet.
Yeah, you have twice, but who's counting?
Shit, I did?
Yeah. I don't even remember what about, but yeah.
I don't either.
It's and then good. You, when you had technical difficulties, you said some other words.
Oh, when I had set my phone up and I hit the mute button on my laptop, but I don't think it muted my mic. It just muted what you guys were saying. So yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, that didn't count. I was on mute.
So far, Wrestle Dream Card, we have 8 matches so far, and well, we also have pre-show matches too. So we have more, but 8 on the main card. That might be it for this one. We might be done. This might be the earliest we know what a card's going to be.
Oh, you're going to pick one up. You're going to pick one up Wednesday. It's a 3-hour freaking episode.
So far we have Darby and Mox in the I Quit match, Hangman and Joe for the world title, Statlander and Tony for the women's world title, Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks for 500K, Kyle Fletcher and Briscoe 5th time they're against each other for the TNT title, which I like. I think that's interesting. Rodito versus Okada and Takeshita. Hater versus Tekla, just in a singles match, which I like. And Hurt Syndicate versus The Demand in trios.
Do you think it's a... is it too soon to take that belt off of Fletcher?
I feel like you... I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know who I'm predicting yet. Thursday night in our predictions.
I don't know.
But, like... Briscoe just got a huge singles win over MJF last pay-per-view. I feel like this, if there's ever a time to put a single strap in AEW on him, it might be right now.
Well, what I'm saying is after.
No, hey, I never did dislike Briscoe. I just said he was getting stale for me. I can get on board with him getting a title shot. That's all I said. But.
He's a very underestimated wrestler, singles wrestler. I mean, obviously, we don't see him in tag matches anymore, but I feel like the work he's done in AEW is very good. He can put on a hellacious match. The reason I say I don't think it's too soon is because I think once you move on from Hangman and Samoa Joe, Hangman needs somebody. The people we want to see are on the shelf. Why not throw in another Fletcher match, which they had an absolute banger at the last pay-per-view together?
They did it all out, but I think if you run that back, Fletcher's got to take the title off of him. Has to.
No.
And then it hurts him.
Why don't you stretch this son of a bitch out until one of these guys, until Swerver's back, until Hangman's, or until MJF is back, until Osprey's going to be back.
Yeah, MJF should be back soon.
I mean, you can stretch this out for 60 to 90 days. You know, there's enough gimmick matches in Tony Khan's mind, in his brain. You could stretch this out. And yeah, you think if they're going to take this belt off of him, eventually he's going to need the world title. No, you can have a 90-day blow off with him, and that just makes him more hungry, and he can cut a promo about that.
I mean, it is going to be interesting. Like,
he doesn't need to hold this belt hostage like Paul's best friend Mercedes. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you got a middle finger and a camera. Wait, off.
Does that mean I was number? Did he tell me I'm number one?
I think he did.
No, because you didn't provide me any chili yesterday.
I didn't cook it. I sat on my butt.
And Majin's saying they can have Hangman keep it, but it'll have to be something like Okada Omega, where Fletcher comes close, but Hangman just steals it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be interesting.
All right.
And a disclaimer, I did not have a chili team in the cook-off yesterday.
You did not?
I did not. I took, after 5 or 6 years in a row, I took a year off, and my two young sons entered cars into the car show.
Very cool.
And we sat and did the car show. We ate elephant ear. Well, they ate elephant ears. They ate cheesecake on a stick, which I thought was the oddest thing ever until I took a bite, and it was freaking amazing. We had tenderloins.
So they were all hyped up on sugar.
We had lemon shakeups.
So they were hyped up and ready to roll.
And then they actually, the littlest one did go back to take a nap because the car show does last all day long. And then my mom took the other one. And then I was able to sit downtown in our lovely town and have two adult beverages with the new Dora rule. So I literally sat behind our cars and had two vodka sodas from the local bar Putz. And I did have a Bloody Mary from Arlington House early in the day. So, yeah, awesome town. But I did not cook chili yesterday. I took the year off. We will be back next year is the plan. So get off my ass, ball.
Fine. I saved money. I went to buy tickets to taste chili, and I didn't see you anywhere. So I said, screw it. I'm not giving anybody any of my money.
Wow. Yes. Definitely took the year off. We'll be back next year. My one team member was in Orlando, Florida, and my other team member is actually currently moving to Carmel, but he said he would come back next year.
Because, see, I was going to bring this with me even and say, you know, I'd show you what a championship looks like, but you can't even win that, let alone a good chili team. So,
wow,
you ruined my entire setup of being an ass to you.
Yeah, that's not very nice. I would have put 700,000 Scoville units hot sauce into your chili if I knew that was the way you're gonna be.
Look, I've been fighting allergies, so that probably would have helped. I probably would have had the clearest nose and head.
Your nose has been running like a sieve, my friend.
Oh man, it already is, but you know.
My wife hates when I use that expression, so I use it all the time.
Running like a stiff.
Oh, she hates it, so I just do it all the time. What the hell does that even mean? Like, look it up. I use it all the time. So,
yeah. I mean, as long as you don't call her a sieve,
it's okay. I do not.
Yeah, she might smack you.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the last time.
Wow.
Wow.
We don't need to talk about domestic abuse on the KOP podcast.
Yeah, that's people can definitely take that the wrong way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. What else we got to talk about? I feel like we had a since the three of us have been together, yeah. I feel like AEW has been since we've been together, sorry. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have been on a definite uptick.
I think so too. Paul and I were talking about that. Like, you know, I see a lot of people just negative about wrestling right now. I think AEW is doing a good job of putting blinders on, sticking to their primary focus, figuring out like what their objective is as a company. And that's in-ring product. We're the best wrestle. We're going to have matches that set up stories instead of stories that set up matches more times than not. And I think they're doing a good job of it. They're doing a good job with working with what they have with heavy hitters on the shelf. On both men's, so mostly men's side. There's not too many women's heavy hitters on the shelf right now, thankfully. But I think they're putting on good shows. I mean, maybe I'm a homer, but I think they're doing a good job.
No, the only complaint I have is we're giving somebody too many belts.
Well, there's a reason they're doing that. There's got to be an end game to it.
She's related to Snoop. That's the only reason anybody even cares. Oh,
Jesus Christ. She's giving the company good promotion wherever she goes.
All right. Look, you know what? So did people who are no longer in the company.
I'm bringing my chair back. I was standing up for this. I gotta sit back now for this shit.
There is a gentleman who still is no longer with the company, has returned to another company, but still spends almost as much time talking about AEW as he did when he was with the company.
No, that's because.
So we're going to praise him? Well, I mean, you already do. You've got like 17 action figures of his behind you.
But he's still one of my favorites, but yeah, that
he doesn't have 17 belts. Why does she need them?
He's the. All right, backtrack.
Kenny so, did the same thing. All right, FTR Paul. Did the same thing.
Yeah, and they're great. So why can't you say Mercedes is great?
Their reigns weren't as long as this.
They're having her eclipse Jade's reign as TBS champ, which is smart.
Yes.
What are you going to do after she loses this title and she wins the world's title? Can you cry? You going to stop watching?
No, I'll still watch. I'm not going to buy a shirt that says if Mercedes wins the world title, I complain about it online. I'll complain about it online, whether she wins or not. But
I mean, that's the end game. Eventually she's going to hold all the belts. Yeah. You know, we thought that she would eventually like start losing them because I think she lost one here while
she
back.
Did lose one.
And gained more.
And
she lost the New Japan one.
Yeah, we thought she would start losing belts, and then that would get her in the world title picture.
Nah.
But I think now
you and Maji can hang out together, Paul.
She will be the first dual AEW champion where she holds the TBS and the world championship together. Okay. I'm convinced of that.
Hey Majin, we can mute every time Mercedes is on TV and we'll talk about Marvel instead. Look,
no comment.
I'd rather
talk. No, I have a comment, but
your comment is Paul learned to like her. She's not going anywhere. Deal with it.
A little bit of that, but
and then an F this, also and an F that, and shut up and deal with it.
Okay, well, I'm going to be a little bit more respectful, Paul.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I think you. I agree with your first statement, but also I think you need to sit back and watch maybe what we're going to see as history is the first time it is ever done as a women's champion, and to see what kind of how she's going to elevate other women in her path. Let's put it that way. I think you're seeing something special over the next 12 to 18 months.
Sure.
Which we've already seen.
You're right, Shep. I will agree with you. She elevates every woman she's in the ring with because they could be green as green can be and still wrestle That's better than her.
Stupidest thing ever said on this podcast.
Is it because you're wearing a green hoodie?
No, I'm wearing my sponsor. All right. Mountain Dew has sponsored me. That's where I've been. I'm not lame like you. Mountain Dew agrees with me. Mercedes
have you had
sucks.
Have you had too much caffeine and sugar today?
No. Well, I'm not sitting here just going. So obviously I haven't had too much caffeine.
I don't even know how to respond.
I don't like her. I didn't like her when she was in the other
company.
No, that's
fine.
I will never like her.
You don't have to like her, but you can admit she's a good wrestler.
When she becomes a good wrestler,
oh my god!
Hold on a second, and let's go back to WWE days. Her match with Bayley, the headline
NXT
that
takeover
that
NXT in Brooklyn,
unbelievable professional wrestling match. Then there was a hardcore street fight or something on a Raw that her and Charlotte absolutely tore down the house.
Courtesy of Charlotte.
It takes two to tango, Paul. It takes two to tango.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, well, trust me. Ask Mama Wayne. I can't do it all on my own, baby. I need some help.
Shep, that's why you think you're handsome. Okay. No, you just think you're handsome. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I'm sure people know the joke that I'm going with here, except Tanner, who's sheltered.
Here, I'll prove another point to you. Even before Mama Wayne, when you get it in your 40s, Old Dax used to talk about this. You need a little Blue Chew. Blue Chew sponsors.
No free, no free promotions.
No, Blue Chew sponsor us. It takes two to tango, right? You need you and Blue Chew. So then you add Mama Wynn in there. It's a three-way. It's a fatal three-way. Come on. Let's go.
Woo!
Yeah. When there's four people, it's called a foursome. When there's three, it's called a threesome. When there's two, it's called a twosome. And Shep, that's why people call you handsome.
All I'm just saying is, and sometimes I'm not the biggest fan of hers, but the girl is a performer. The girl is an entertainer. She deserves what she's getting right now. And we should appreciate that and watch it.
So Britney Spears. Are you going to talk about Britney Spears being the best?
Britney Spears is a fucking nut job on Twitter dancing half naked when she's got teenage boys asking her not to do it because they're her kids. And she's a fucking nut job doing that. You cannot compare Britney fucking Spears and her together. That is absolutely the dumbest thing that's ever been said on this podcast. Mercedes Moné and Britney Spears compared together. Are you fucking kidding me?
This was awesome, but God, I missed this.
All right.
What are you doing, Paul?
Look, you weren't impressed.
I'm going to throw your ass into the lake again, off the fucking pier if you do that again.
That video just showed up on my Facebook feed like yesterday, too. That's hilarious. Look, you weren't here in 2021. I got a little
lightheaded
there. You weren't here in 2021, and I don't know if you were watching or listening regularly, but I would get on this podcast every time we did it, and I would complain about Britt Baker because she couldn't perform in the ring. She got better. I stopped complaining. I actually enjoyed watching her wrestle. I'm waiting for Mercedes to do the same thing.
Hey, not to interrupt you, but this is going to be the smartest thing in this last 30 seconds have been said. I am watching Bound for Glory. Dudley just made their entrance, and they brought Spike back.
Nah, that's good stuff.
Nice.
And Spike has no hair, by the way.
Yep.
No, he's like, bald. He's balder than you.
Yeah. I cut my hair fucking short, okay?
Man, Paul has gone full heel. Like, you know, he wins this damn championship, doesn't show up on the pod, shows up tonight.
I'm a part-timer. I'm a part-timer. What do you expect? You don't pay me enough to be here every single week.
Yeah, and I love the Dudleys are showing up as their shirts say Team Dudley, and then the front says 3D. Bubba's got the old camouflage on. Yeah, this is kind of actually a cool moment, actually. Not that I wouldn't want to disengage from you two and fellas, because, you know, you guys are my favorite, kind of. But
sometimes
kinda,
I'll take
kinda,
it.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah, you and Maja can just go be Mercedes haters and have fun.
Oh, my God. I love it. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah.
Good old Joey Styles.
Legend. What is he doing nowadays? Can anybody Google that, what he's doing
nowadays? I don't think he's doing anything.
Is he still
wrestling related?
Is he still getting just probably a good old royalty check?
Probably.
Probably sipping on the beach, sipping Mai Tais. And when the lady
living the life we all wish we could be living.
I think he was in talks with Conrad Thompson at one time to do an ECW podcast, and then it didn't take off for some reason.
That's because Conrad was trying to scream on a mortgage.
Could have been.
No.
Could have been.
Joey Styles is no longer involved in professional wrestling and is reportedly working in sales, possibly for a medical or digital advertising company.
I could see him getting into the advertising business, especially media. He obviously has a background in it.
And that's all, you know, reportedly. So it may not be true.
You reportedly don't call yourself a paper champion.
I don't. I'm not a paper champion. I am the champion. Just
clean, keep that belt clean, all right? Because come Saturday, you're losing it. So
I've already done a Shawn Michaels style photo shoot with it.
Oh, Jesus. You say that every time you have the belt once a year. So
if that really happened, I'm going to buy a new belt.
Yeah.
Look, I am thinner now than I was when we started this podcast.
That doesn't matter. I don't give a shit if you weighed 105 pounds or 505 pounds. If that strap got that close to your junk, I'm getting a new belt.
That's fair.
Okay, there you go.
You'll have to win it first.
Well,
Mr. Last Place.
Sorry that I had the correct predictions in what should have been Tony's mind, but it got a little clouded with some caffeine and booger sugar. So. That's okay.
Paul, your allergies are acting up again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
I think it's more fucked up that Majin's asking to see the pics.
Yeah.
That's kind of fucked up.
They're Marvel buddies.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Plug thirsting over me. Majin's thirsting over me now. I am the must-see champion on KOP.
What do you do? Send pictures of Brian Cage back and forth to each other as a Wolverine?
No, that's what you like. You like seeing Brian Cage.
Hey, I'm just glad that Shep knew enough to put Wolverine in the correct category of Marvel. That's all I got. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got in Cartman in Marvel too. Went through the same thing.
Cartman.
any Marvel character?
You're talking about South Park, right?
Yeah, Carmen.
Oh my god.
He's awesome.
He's awesome, but he's not Marvel.
I think Paul's done.
I think Paul's done for the pod for the night. He's just
Hey, so I haven't gotten a chance to do this with you yet, Tanner. And I know we're quickly approaching the minute or the hour 30 that you try to keep it under, so guys, we're talking about some wrestling history, some stuff that happened on today's date.
Yep. Let's do it.
Oh, are you starting a new little segment here?
I've started this already. Genius. When I was on vacation.
I forgot. And then I disappeared because I won the title and I was needed elsewhere.
Yeah, both of you disappear whenever. Well, no, Shep was a fighting champ. We just never saw the title. It was like in a damn briefcase, like when Moxley had it. So,
yeah. You disappeared for almost your entire reign as champion.
False.
Well, he went on a honeymoon. He went to Hawaii. He touched the giant Tetons. You know, he did all that.
Played some golf. Anyway.
I about said something that would have got me.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I don't even think it would have got me canceled. It would have got me
divorced.
Yeah, if she would have seen the podcast, which she never watches. But yeah,
okay. Well, it'd been your luck. She's on her way to work tomorrow and decided to listen. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, there, Mr. Derby guy.
So yesterday was the American Dream's birthday.
Dusty Rhodes, baby.
So hats off to him.
Yeah, yeah. Silver baby.
2022, Orange Cassidy defeated Pac to win the, at the time, AEW All-Atlantic Championship.
I remember talking about that on the pod. That was a good match.
Way to go, Pockets.
1992.
That's the year I was born.
I was been 10.
God, you're old.
Fuck.
I was 5. The Steiner brothers had a meeting with WCW's Bill Watts that ended with them storming out of his office, suggesting their impending departure, and a gentleman debuted in USWA by the name of Tasmaniac.
Yeah.
Later shortening to just Taz.
Bill Watts sucked.
And I remember him getting booked out of the USWA into ECW at the time. It was closer to 93 or 94. And he was a one-off for Heyman. And he paired him with Sabu, and Sabu's like, I don't want to work with this guy. He's like, I'm going to pay you $500. I'm making that amount up. I can't remember how the documentary goes. And he's like, okay, I'll do it for $500. And him and the Tasmaniac had a match. They're like, oh, we got to do it again. I need $500 more. Okay. And that's how the feud between the Tasmaniac and Sabu came about.
See, it was Majin. It wasn't me. You Bullshit, came at
you
me
said
over
it, motherfucker.
It.
You said
I read his you comment.
Said you said it. I heard the name podcast, so that's part of my gimmick now.
You're going to spill that all over yourself, and I'm going to laugh.
Already did.
Well, I don't look that closely at you.
Yeah, Shep said, I love microplastics.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
That's why you can't get a. That's why you can't get a rotisserie chicken from Costco. Fucking microplastics, man.
Boom! 1992 also. Butch Reed defeated the Junkyard Dog to become the USWA Unified World Heavyweight Champion.
Junkyard Dog was the most underrated professional wrestler of his time.
Well,
he was a stud.
Here's one that you were the only one out of the members of this podcast that would have been alive for this. Roddy Rowdy Piper defeated Playboy Buddy Rose in 1982.
Dude, I was born September of 82.
You were still born. I wasn't. Tanner wasn't even a sparkle in his dad's
okay,
eye.
Okay, what happened if that happened in June of 82?
Then I was not born. If this would have been, if I would have been reading this on June 12th of...
it happened. Oh, you're saying it happened this day.
Yes, October 12th.
Okay, so I was born September 30th, so I was 13 fucking days old.
Hey, you were out of the hospital. You could have been at home watching it. Lifetime. I don't know.
I doubt Bobby was watching this, but all right.
Yeah, yeah, I doubt. I think old Bobby was not a big Buddy Rose fan. Let's put it that way.
Let's fast forward.
Oh, Jesus, Majin. Oh, my God.
Hey, how do you put that shit up on the screen?
You can't.
I can't. Ah, fuck.
There's a reason you can't put things up on the screen, Chip.
Oh, Steffi's breaking out Majin's legal government name. He's in big trouble.
Yeah, he is.
Let's fast forward to the Attitude Era. October 12th of 1998, WWF, okay. Raw right. is War. Stone Cold Steve Austin cements a white Corvette.
Oh, classic.
Oh, the funny part was, hold on. So it's 1998. The Corvette that he ruined after McMahon, out of McMahon's collection, that car was like fucking from 91 or 92 is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Exactly
why the reason it was allowed.
Yeah. But it was funny. Like, I remember the JR and the King were saying, talking about how big of a Corvette collection McMahon had and how rare this car was. I mean, they played it up so good. And in a 98, I probably believed their ass because I didn't know any different.
And have you
now
ever
you're no- like, that was shit.
And have you ever noticed whenever they do like car spots that cars get damaged or beat up? A lot of times they are GM products. I'm not meaning that bad either, Shep.
No,
I'm just
meaning
the cars are featured or GM.
Well, in WWE they are.
Yes.
And if you notice when we've done it in AEW, it's full blown fucking rentals.
And it's whatever they can get.
It's had, yeah. Could you imagine? Like Tony Khan just goes to Enterprise and says, fuck it, I'll buy the car.
Yep.
Like, okay, we threw somebody through the windshield. Like, you can either charge me for the windshield or I'll just pay for the car.
Yep.
Yep.
I remember when Lesnar, it was back in like 2016, 18. I don't remember. When he was having a feud with Rollins, and he ripped the doors off that Cadillac. I think it was XTS at the time.
Yep.
That was crazy because I don't think those doors were really gimmicked very well. And he just.
Yeah. Well, they used GM products because remember Shane bought an engine from Chef.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Shane's custom builder did. Shane's custom engine or car builder did buy an engine for me.
Yep.
So
and at the time where I was working in that booth, I'm the only one that understand who the hell Shane McMahon was. Everybody else looked at me like I was an idiot, which is it's fine.
Well,
I still get that.
Well, yeah. So that does it for the 12th, but here's some fun stuff that happened on the 11th. 92 again, Bret Hart won his first WWF championship from Ric Flair at a TV taping in Saskatoon.
Although
the match never made it to TV.
Is that one of the, I think it's happened three times in the life of the WWE/F world title where the title changed hands on a house show, basically. Yep. Where nobody, I think it's only happened three times if you look it up.
Yep.
And that was
one of them. October 11th, 2002. One of Shep's favorite wrestlers made his in-ring debut. The one and only Eddie Kingston.
October 11th, 2002. God, yeah. that had to be on a freaking mud show, spot show in the back of a three-wing circus. If I remember correctly, he started his career the hard way.
Yeah.
But, obviously it worked out well for him, so.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's back.
Tomorrow, Shad Gaspar would have been celebrating a birthday.
Rest in peace.
He was born in 81.
He died trying to save his son, so.
Yeah.
Yep. No better way to go out.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, on October 11th, Kenny and Kota defeated Apollo 55 to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship.
So that was 2010?
2010.
They were junior heavyweights then.
Yeah.
Who was Apollo 55, by the way? I'd like to know that.
Oh, God. I knew you were going to ask me this.
I'll look it up. I got you.
I can pronounce one name.
Oh, you already got it up there. Okay.
Yes. That one name I can pronounce is Prince Deviate.
Devitt. Yeah, Prince Devitt.
I know.
Finn Balor.
The other one was Ryushi, R-Y-U-S-U-K-E.
Rashikushi.
Tagushi. T-A-G-U-C-H-I. Tagushi.
Gesundheit.
Yes, I feel better.
That's good. That's obviously a hell of a team to, well, I don't know the other guy, but obviously Prince Devitt was a hell of a guy to take the belt off of.
Look, I butchered one on purpose just to see which one of these two I could get riled up.
Purpose.
2016, October 11th. James Ellsworth defeated then WWE James champion Ellsworth. AJ Styles.
Ellsworth was a stud.
He saw him at Squared Circle.
Oh, he shows up.
Hell yeah. God, yes.
Was there somebody in line getting a picture?
Not the time I saw him.
Oh.
No. 1993, October 11th, Razor Ramon defeated Rick Martel to win the vacant WWF Intercontinental Championship.
Rick Martel. That's a name I haven't heard for a while.
And in 2001, Billy Kidman won the WCW Cruiserweight title from X-Pac.
Dude, I liked Kidman a lot as a kid in WCW.
Kidman had a hell of a run in WCW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The matches between Kidman, Mysterio, Kidman, and Dean Malenko were outstanding. Kidman and Conan. I mean, that whole division was money back then.
Let's not talk about his feud with Hogan, though, in WCW 2000. Ooh.
Was that the chair shot heard
right? That was one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought.
My God. Hogan wouldn't put him over, of course.
So
I can find it. Here we go. You, Tanner, I am sending you pronunciations from a women's tag team from Japan.
Why me? No,
because I'm not
doing
it.
I'm not doing it. Nope.
Fine. I'll post it in general comments to see if Steffi and Majin can give us pronunciations.
No, I want to see you do it. I butcher these enough.
Yeah, one's Lioness Asuka.
Yes, you got that one.
And Chigusa Nagayo.
I think you did pretty good.
The Crush Gals defeated Bull Nakano and Condor Saito to
Bull
win
Nakano
the AJW Best Tag Team League.
Oh, he missed. Sorry, guy. I'm watching this match, and fucking Jeff Hardy just missed a swanton
on Devon.
He came up short. He was laying on two tables. He hit his head on the back of the fucking ladder. He met. His legs barely hit Devon Devon in the chest.
Oh boy.
They're trying to get him up to see if he busted the back of his fucking head open. Ooh. And he was on the top of a ladder, by the way.
Oh God. Jeff, what are you doing?
Yeah, he was on the top of one of the ladders. Obviously, Devon's selling it good. And they're not showing Jeff at all right now.
Nope. So that's all the history I have.
I don't think I got anything else. This has been a heck of a show, though, boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he didn't bust his head open. He's standing up. He has a concussion for the 47th time. But
yeah, that
he did not bust his head open, which is probably a good thing.
It's Jeff Hardy. He could land on a spike through the chest and stand back up and wouldn't realize it.
I mean, Mox did, so.
True.
Yeah. Well, Mox did for one reason. Jeff does it for another reason.
Also true.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Majin, are you watching this with me, by the way? When you just made that comment. Is anybody else watching Bound for Glory as I'm trying to deal with Tanner and Paul beards. The same way? Actually, I'm trying to deal with Paul. Tanner has been fairly respectful for.
Thank you.
Most of wow. Time.
But then Paul got me fired up comparing Mercedes Mosnay to Britney Spears, and yeah, I'm still.
You couldn't even pronounce her name just there. See, you can't
because he's so pissed about it.
I actually here's the thing. Like I'm sitting in my pole barn, and I'm on the far side of it, right? I'm the closest to my two sons' room, or probably, even though there's a wall in front of us, it's probably like 15 feet by steps. I was loud enough where I was expecting to send a text from my wife, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, we can hear you, because I know she's still in one of the rooms, but I did not get that. So I
you're lucky, you know. Paul.
Yeah. Because if you would have woken up one of the boys at, 9:30 at night, you would have been, in
Mrs. Shepherd would have, given you a super kick, and I would have loved it.
Yes.
I'm not the one who woke him up. It was Shep and his yelling.
I was provoked. Anyways,
you boys rest up and study up and get ready for Thursday night for our predictions.
Thursday night.
I got a perfect card in store.
Actually, Thursday's my afternoon off, so I might start drinking about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Perfect. Great content.
Yes, it makes for great. The difference between me and most guys when they do the prediction, when you show up a little buzzed, you actually predict the perfect card, unlike JPJ when he showed up.
I was going to say, I still don't think you could be as drunk as JPJ was that one time with the predictions.
Yeah, he actually frustrated Pluggo. It was great.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. We'd do it again if we could.
Hey, Paul, unmute yourself, get yourself on camera, and wrap this bad boy up.
All right. All right. Look, I'm doing it different because you know what? Why not? So, hey, did you like this episode? Well, for more fun episodes like this, subscribe, hit that notification bell.
Follow us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. And be sure to leave us that 5-star review wherever it is you listen to your podcasts, because we are 5-star KOP.
Well, I got to interrupt you real quick. How you started that, I thought you were going to do with Triple H. Did you enjoy the show? It's all part of the show, man. I still love when he did that.
I was pulling more from BT.
I know you were.
Yeah, you're pulling BT out.
All I can think is, God, Triple H, enjoy the show. It's all part of the show, man.
Because you're a freaking, never mind.
I'm not even a Triple H fan. No, good night. I just thought that was hilarious. All part of the show, man, when we all knew he's lying through his teeth.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Anyway, wrap it up.
Yeah. The sport. You hear that enough, sure to check us out on all social media. You can follow Tanner Lee at TannerLee92. Follow Austin Shepherd at TheShep27. Follow myself at PaulZartman87. And if you're looking for even more ways to support us, you can check out KickingOutShop.com or ProWrestlingTees.com and just search Kicking Out Podcast. So with that being said, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I am your KOP Predictions Champion, Paul Zartman. Join us Thursday as we make predictions and kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night, bam!